Our scripture this morning is taken from the Gospel of Mark, and we read from the 16th chapter. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices, so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. May these words from our Holy Scripture find a place in our hearts and minds today. Christians for almost 2,000 years now have claimed that this one event, this singular occurrence of Jesus rising from death, is the sole basis for our faith. It is the hope we cling to and the assurance we offer to others. If there is no resurrection event, no life after death, no promise of recovery after tragedy, no light at the end of the tunnel, no healing after suffering or spring after winter, then what would life look like? How could we go on? What would we do if nothing ever got better after terrible things happened? If we remained perpetually stuck in tragedy, bitterness, pain, and hopelessness? The Easter message is good news because in no uncertain terms it tells us that death, pain, tragedy, despair, and hopelessness are absolutely not the last word. That after the worst that could happen happens, there is still the possibility of recovery and healing. Death and darkness and despair are never the last word, no matter how bleak or hard it gets. This is good news. This is the story we tell over and over and over again as humans who suffer and survive. We tell these stories about our own lives and about people we know, about the world, and about the trouble we all experience. Don't give up. I know it's tough now, but things will change. Here's the thing, though. While this is true, it's not always the most comforting message when we're in the middle of uncomfortable realities, when the pain and suffering and fear are so real that we can barely breathe. And this is where the Gospel of Mark may be more comforting than any of the Gospels. For Mark doesn't tell the story as it's told in Matthew, Luke, or John. Yes, we hear that Jesus has risen, he is alive. We know the story, that life has overcome death. But not for the women in Mark's story. Not yet, anyway. The story ends before we know what happens to them, what they discover and celebrate in the end, we do not hear. At the end of this story, the women are still frightened and confused. They have come to the tomb, vulnerable and grieving. They are raw. They have just been witness to perhaps the most traumatic event in their lives, and they are shaken to the core. Jesus has entered Jerusalem in what appeared to be a triumphal takeover. He had been hailed as the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who was to come. Their hopes for salvation, for liberation, for freedom had been pinned on him. But things had taken a very bad turn, and he had been arrested, tried, condemned, and put to death as a criminal, and his followers were devastated. Where could anyone find hope or promise in that? That kind of deep pain cannot let us hear the good news sometimes. The women went to the tomb to do their duty, to anoint the body of their beloved teacher and friend. Dreams dashed, promise crushed, the future unknown. They could not understand what the young man had said to them when they arrived at the tomb. Jesus has been raised. He is not here. They couldn't fathom it. It was too much. And perhaps you can understand. They had not yet processed their grief and suffering. Their hearts were too heavy to have the burden of pain lifted. This was too much for them to comprehend. And in their heartbreak and confusion, Mark tells us that they experienced amazement and terror. They were literally stunned into not saying anything to anyone about what they had seen and heard. Can we really blame them? In fact, of all the Gospels, Mark is the one who comes closest to truth. Sometimes we think we should be happier, more grateful, generous, and hopeful. After all, we have it pretty good. Yet it's so hard to muster those feelings in the grief, in the hardship, the uncertainty, the pain. And that's okay. We need to move through to the joy. We have to work out the pain. We need to be honest about our feelings. The women will get there eventually. The light will break through, and they will know the joy of resurrection. Writer and theologian Henri Nouwen wrote in Can You Drink the Cup? That the cup of life is the cup of joy as much as it is the cup of sorrow. Sorrows and joys, sadness and gladness, mourning and dancing are never separated. For anyone who has the courage to enter our human sorrows deeply, there is the revelation of joy, hidden like a precious stone in the wall of a dark cave. The women will get there because they are showing up in their sorrow. Joy will be theirs. Friends, we are in the midst of very challenging times. Not just a global pandemic, but all of the uncertainty and unrest that was taking place before it even started. And maybe we're not in a place to feel joy or hope right now. We are acutely aware of the suffering and pain of so many. We are suffering too. And if that is the case and that's where we're at, then it is the place we need to be. We can be amazed and terrified at the same time. It's not our place to take away the suffering, to tell people that there is hope and light down the road. That just seems too flippant, too disrespectful. Sometimes we just need to hold a space for that suffering for a while, to allow people to move into and through it before they are ready for the good news. We can be there. To love, to serve, to listen, and to cry with them. Until one day they will be ready and receptive, and we will be able to tell them the good news, that there is life after death, love after loss, healing after pain, light after darkness. Pope John Paul II once said, "Do not abandon yourselves to despair. We are the Easter people, and hallelujah is our song." Sometimes we sing our hallelujahs through tears. We are living, breathing, walking examples of this as we tell our stories of hope and grace, of pain and healing, of moving on after the tragedies that we have lived through. This is the story of Easter. And we will tell people the story of Jesus, that we are convinced that resurrection is possible. That death is not the last word, that joy comes with the dawn. Amen.